Beloved radio friends, in the precious and the worthy name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we heartily greet you with gratitude that we have the privilege under God of coming into your presence by the means of this program and bringing the Word of God. It is a holy privilege which we would sacredly carry out to the glory of God, that we may present to you the divine truth of God's precious Word as we continue our study in the book of Exodus. From the book of Exodus, in the early chapters of the book, we are learning characteristics that pertain to the present evil world in which you and I are living. We have every confidence that the Word of God is true when it states that the world is in the hands of the wicked one, even Satan, that he is rightly called, even by the Son of God himself, the prince of this world, that he's rightly termed by the Apostle Paul as being the god of this age. So that we take our story concerning Israel being delivered out of the land of Egypt from Egyptian bondage and tyranny as being an example or illustration of the great story of the gospel of the saving grace of God, when our Lord Jesus Christ, we are told in the Word of God, gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil world. I repeat with no apology for the repetition, the world is a place that is under the sentence of divine judgment. Its God is yet to be judged, and all who follow that God, even Satan, and do his bidding, and are not redeemed, will share the eternal punishment which the Lord Jesus said, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. May you never hear those words spoken by the Son of God in the day of his judgment. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Therefore, the premise indicates you and I need a Savior. You and I need a deliverer. Christ alone is the deliverer. In the story of Exodus, we find Moses is a type of Christ. But our Savior is the greatest deliverer for you and for me. We read in chapter 9 of the book of Exodus the sixth plague again, the plague of boils, beginning at verse 8 through verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take you two handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace, and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. May we briefly but quickly repeat the message of the preceding program, when we stated the visitation of this judgment was upon one of the goddesses of Egypt by the name of Neith, one whom they worshipped as the great mother queen of the highest heavens, supposedly claiming that she was self-born, and an inscription under her idolatrous figure, I came from myself. And then there was another purpose perhaps for that plague in relation to the godless worship of the Egyptians. It also could have been in reference to a practice that they once had, when human sacrifices were once offered under the shepherd kings of Egypt, but later abolished. But the ashes of those victims were thrown to the winds and scattered to the wind in honor of a god they called Typhon. But God's judgment comes upon them, not only upon the gods, but upon those who worship the gods, the Egyptians themselves. The form of the judgment here was in the form of a boil. Now again we ask, as we did the closing question of the preceding program, what is a boil? Is not a boil upon the body the outward visitation of what is an inward corruption? It is the evidence that there's an inward poison within the body. Now, may I point out, this illustrates the poison of sin that is in the human life. The corruption of sin that is universal, not only in the land of Egypt, but throughout the whole world. Before the days of the judgment of the flood, God declared that the corruption and violence of the earth was displeasing in His sight and had come under His judgment, which it did. What should we say today? God says through the lips of His beloved Son in Matthew's Gospel 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And what do we see today on every hand but the corruption of sin? Violence and corruption are filling the earth. And this is the evidence of sin coming out of the human heart of mankind. And it will come under the visitation of God's judgment. Please may I read some words, if I may go very quickly, to the book of the Revelation. I would like you to know that there's coming a day of divine wrath upon the pollution of sin and its corruption within this world. I read in Revelation these words, and may I read only, beginning at verse 9 through verse 11, what the Spirit of God writes, as John goes on to say, regarding that coming day of visitation of God's wrath. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And may I go down the chapter, please? And may I read the words that close the chapter? Reading in verse 14, The heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, beloved, let me remind you that in the land of Egypt, it was an isolated judgment, restricted entirely and only to the land of Egypt and to the gods of Egypt. But may I remind you from the scripture we have read, the day is coming when the wrath of God is going to fall upon all the world. But let me go further, please. I'd like to read in Revelation chapter 8. May I read of a judgment which we read about in this 8th chapter regarding what God will do in that coming day of His judgment. May I read from verse 3 through verse 5. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. There was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Now let me pause for a moment and reflect with you the implication. In the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, we read of the prayers of many that will be slain or even have been slain for the testimony of the word of God. And those prayers of the saints in that coming day will cry for vengeance. And in this 8th chapter of the book of the Revelation, we see the answer to the prayer. And in verse 5, these are the solemn words. And the angel took the censer, filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Now these words are but symbolically representing to us the visitation of divine judgment by the voices, the thunderings and the lightnings and the earthquake. But I want you to notice the source of the judgment. From heaven above. It's the wrath of God. As the angel fills his censer with the fire of the altar, and he casts it down to the earth. May I go to chapter 16 in the book of the Revelation, and let me read of another judgment that is recorded in the final judgments that are called the vile judgment. Let me read chapter 16 verses 1 and 2 only. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And now know what follows. There fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Now, beloved, let me please correlate very quickly and thoroughly, I trust, and clearly. What is yet to take place? Now, I want to illustrate it from the book of Exodus. As in the book of Exodus, chapter 9, in the plague of boils, the ashes of the furnace thrown into the air toward the heaven, those ashes came down in small dust and afflicted all the men and beasts in the land of Egypt with these painful, grievous boils. But may I remind you, as already stated, it was a restricted judgment only upon Egypt. But what we have read in the 16th of the Revelation, the 16th chapter, and verse 2, is a judgment that is going to fall upon all on the earth who worship the image of that one who professes himself to be the Messiah, the Christ, the Antichrist, as his name will be. Now, beloved, please let me state, very frankly, the wrath of God from heaven has not yet been poured out upon the earth. But I want to state it's coming. And in my humble opinion, candidly I say it, I am under the deep conviction that day of God's wrath is near. Now, my radio friend, I just want to ask you plainly, and I'm not minimizing what I say. I have the divine authority of knowing and believing that this Bible is the Word of God. And I read in the Word of God these words, flee from the wrath to come. And because there is wrath, beware. And my beloved, I want to warn you, you don't have much time to get saved if you're not saved yet. May I point you to the Savior? Our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us out of this present evil world. And I beg you to flee to Christ. Your only salvation, deliverance from God's wrath to come, must be Christ. May it be your prayer. May you remember the words of the hymn, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. And may you come completely and unreservedly to Christ and trust his precious blood today. O Father, bless the truth of thy word, for thy glory we ask. Amen.